This episode is brought to you by VPP Simplified. Now you can get element by element tracking and guidance for your VPP journey. Every aspect of the VPP requirements in one easy-to-use interactive spreadsheet. It explains every sub-element in detail, contains an easy-to-read stoplight so you can track current status for each sub-element. It provides you with a three-step verification for completion of each sub-element. There's even a notes section for you to compile language that will eventually be used for your VPP application. It even comes complete with graphs to show current state and track your progress moving forward. Look, achieving VPP star status can be tough, but understanding what it takes to get there can be simplified. This VPP gap tool will help you do that. Go to vppsimplified.com for more information.
Welcome to the Safety Pro Podcast, where we help you manage workplace safety one episode at a time. And now, your very own safety pro, Blaine J. Hoffman.
Welcome to another episode of the Safety Pro Podcast. Today, we are going to talk about OSHA citations and how you can learn from citations, OSHA issues for other companies, how you can use that information to go and inspect your work areas to make sure that you don't have similar issues going on. So that's what we're going to focus on, is how we can look out at what's going on in the industry and then bring that internally and see how we can make improvements. First, before we get started, I want to talk about the exclusive floor line and floor marking company of the Safety Pro Podcast, and that is none other than Mighty Line Floor Tape. I'm going to talk about Mighty Line's 5S floor tape products. You've probably heard me mention 5S, how using lean tools and principles can help with safety, and one of them is 5S. And I'm not going to get into what 5S means. Bottom line is, when you start organizing the work area, work environment, and you start marking off areas where certain things are to be stored, not stored, where certain equipment is to be kept, you know, marking hazards, delineating aisles and paths of travel, forklifts, all that good stuff, you're going to need to mark the work area floors, whether it's warehouse or industrial. I'm telling you right now, Mighty Line has the products you need. And I'm looking at the 5S floor tape products page, and they have everything. They have the dots that you need. They have different colors. They have T's. They have angles, right angles. They have the little footprints you can buy that you can put down on in your aisles to signify foot traffic, pedestrian traffic. They can do customized signs as well. They have arrows, all kinds of stuff for you at mightylinetape.com/podcast. And their 5S floor tape products, they're great for marking different areas in your facility. The products can be used to mark different safety areas, machinery, any other areas that need to be marked. You know, stop painting your floors. Mighty Line floor tape is 7 times thicker than the average floor tape, and their patented technology makes it more durable than others. It even has beveled edges to increase durability for forklift traffic. Look, before you go headlong into reorganizing and marking up your workplace, look at the products they have available for you today. Again, the official floor marking company of the Safety Pro Podcast. And you know, in business and industry, we need to rely on a select few companies to provide products and services for us. Mighty Line is that company. So when it comes to all of your facility marking needs, go to mightylinetape.com/podcast. Okay, so let's get into how we can benefit from other failures, right? I know it sounds horrible to talk about, but we do it with fatalities all the time. You know, we share this information, and usually it's for odd curiosity and nothing more than that. But why don't we consider this? Looking at news releases, or go to OSHA's website where they have at the top of their page, the menu option is news and publications and what's new. You can go there and what's new in the last 30 days pops up. I'm looking at the page right now. I've got citation. They've cited companies. More often than not, they name the company. I'm not going to name any companies here, but what I will do is pull up a few citations and run through what I do with this information and how we can internalize it into our organization and share it with our frontline supervisors, safety staff, and others to go out and make sure that we don't have these problems in our workplace. So here's an example, a bakery got cited. Let me click on that one. So what did they get cited for? Oh, machine guarding, failing to provide fall protection, and using damaged electrical panel box. They've been cited twice for similar hazards, so this is going to be a repeat. $122,000 proposed penalties. So what we can do with this information, here's what I would do. I would go and look at my facility and say, okay, I'm going to divide these up, machine guarding, fall protection, and damaged electrical panels. I will use this information to create a targeted checklist. So fall protection. I will say, all right, where do we have fall hazards in our facility? Did we miss any? Do we have them all written down? Do we have a log somewhere that indicates fall hazards in our facility? And fall hazards are, you know, where we would expect employees to be working. Does a fall hazard exist in those areas? A lot of times it's going to be maintenance, right? They have to climb up on a machine to do some service work. And we look up there and they're on a ladder and they get off the ladder and they're on top of this press. They're on top of this, you know, machine, and there's no fall protection. So did we have that listed as a fall hazard area? So I would use this as an opportunity to go out and do a wall-to-wall, double check the fall hazards we did identify, make sure that they haven't changed, have been modified. Maybe we moved a piece of equipment and the anchor point we did rely on is no longer present and we just didn't realize it. That can happen. Take that opportunity to go around and assess your site for fall hazards. Also, do we have a complete inventory of personal fall arrest equipment, anchor points, lanyards, beam straps? Do we have those inspected regularly? Do we have any that, you know, don't get used very frequently? So maybe we need an annual inspection regardless of how often it's used, right? So this is an opportunity to really brush up on our fall protection program in general, the maintenance of the program, I should say. Also, start asking workers, especially those assigned fall protection equipment, ask them some key questions about fall protection requirements to see how effective the training was. Did they retain that information? Do we need a refresher? It's a good opportunity to go out and do the audit. It also satisfies this whole need for us to say, wow, we got to do weekly walkthroughs. And, you know, it just gets old sometimes. We will look at the same thing over and over again, the same checklist. Make it dynamic. Break it up. You know, you don't want to have, you know, what we call the wallpaper effect. You know, wallpaper looks great when you first put it up in your home. You ever notice that? And after a while, you just don't notice it anymore. You forget it's there. You probably couldn't even, without looking at it, couldn't even remember what pattern it was or colors. This can happen to us when we do regular weekly audits using the same checklist. We get blind to the periphery and we just run those questions on the checklist and that's it. This is a great way to create a dynamic or living checklist. It's changing all the time. And this is one way to do it. So the other example on here was what? Machine guarding. So machine guarding is good. You can go through and check for machine guards that are in place, but that's a snapshot in time. What I think I would want to do is I would want to get operators involved to go into another work area every once in a while and do a machine guarding inspection or do job observations and watch folks work with their machines to see, you know, are there points of the operation that require them to open a guard? Because we haven't properly maintained the equipment or the material we're feeding through equipment. You know, that machine wasn't really designed for that, but, you know, it works. So we're going to run this, feed this material through that machine. And as a result, it requires an operator to bypass a guard or open a guard or have it open, gate open or something like that. So doing job observations, targeting a very specific area like machine guarding can benefit us. Electrical panels on this citation, it looks like there was use of damaged electrical panels. So I don't know if that's outlets or actual switch gears or panels. Have you gone around and inspected all your electrical panels? Have they been damaged? Do they have doors that are sprung, right? They won't stay shut. Are they labeled? When was the last time that was done? This is an opportunity where every week you can go in and look at one of these, you know, news releases, press releases from OSHA, and you can actually create a very specific inspection or audit checklist based on what they found in another facility, and then go and see if you can find it in your facility. You can use a safety committee for this. You can task the safety committee to say, hey, we meet once a month and there's like 15 of us. I want every one of you to bring one topic, or maybe you rotate it. You say, Bob, January is your month to bring an example of an OSHA citation at a company similar to ours, and we're going to go and see if we can find the same stuff. We're going to play OSHA for a day, or play the compliance officer for the day, or something like that. You know, make it fun. Have everybody, you know, and Jay, you're going to do February. You have a schedule where you task the safety committee to bring a story or an example of maybe a fatality, that a catastrophe that occurred, or citations that were issued, and you go and you do that. So let's pull up another one. Wow, a farmer's cooperative. A worker entrapped in a grain bin. OSHA responded to reports of a worker partially entrapped in a grain bin. Investigators found the worker had entered the bin to clear clumps of soybeans while the auger was running. Boy, I can tell you there's red flags right there. The clumped beans cleared, the grain shifted, knocked the worker off his feet. The auger drew the cleared beans to the bottom of the bin and engulfed the worker up to his chest. They cited the cooperative for 2 willful, 1 repeat, and 4 serious violations of the grain handling standards. Placed the company in OSHA's severe violator enforcement program. That is not a program you want to be in. What is this? $373,000 in proposed penalties and fines. Okay, so confined spaces, lockout, tagout. Those are 2 areas that we can go and look for. Maybe we don't have a soybean silo, but we have boilers, we have autoclaves, we have furnaces, ovens, pits. We can go and pick apart and completely dismantle our confined space entry program to see where we have gaps. Do we have instances where maintenance or operators would find themselves in the position of just reaching into a machine to do something when a lockout, tagout should have been applied? Maybe it's going into a confined space real quick to do something and coming out. Maybe it's, you know, not locking something out and reaching into a machine, doing job observations or interviewing and making that a very specific question. Say, hey, are there times where you have to reach into a machine while it is operating to do something? And then tackle that. Find these problems where they may exist in your facility. Here's another one. South Jersey construction company owner with a long history of workplace safety violations cited for exposing workers to serious scaffold hazards. Okay, so you could still, if you're in general industry, you could still use construction industry citations and press releases. You may have scaffolding in your general industry site. I would offer this to you in general industry. Most of the work, or a fair amount of the work your maintenance staff does, falls under the 1926 standards for construction work. Remodeling, repainting, building something new, that all falls under the construction standards. But scaffolding, do you use temporary scaffolds to run conduit, rewire something, move machinery? What about scissor lifts? Those are mobile work platforms. They're regulated under the scaffold section, right? You know, they don't have their own section. They're not managed like aerial lifts are, articulated boom lifts. Scissor lifts are considered a scaffold, essentially. Go to your scissor lifts and talk to maintenance workers. Look at contractors that are coming into your facility and say, you know, do we always latch that chain on the end when we get up in there? Or does the manufacturer require a lanyard or a fall restraint while in the scissor lift? That kind of stuff. How do we work from these scaffolds? Are we standing on items? Do we have the floor clear? Are we leaning up, standing on the toe rail or even the mid rail and leaning out over to get extra reach? You know, what are some of our practices involved with these? So you could take a construction citation like with scaffolding and you can bring it into a general industry environment and say, okay, what do we have things that are like this? I would encourage you to do this within your company. Every time you hear of a press release coming out with citations, a fatality, a catastrophe, a story somebody tells you about a friend or a neighbor was at work and something happened, what we should be doing is, instead of just sharing this as sort of, you know, odd curiosity, we should be internalizing this. We should take this inside of our organizations and say, hey, what if this happened here? What are some of the signs that would tip us off that this is going on? What should we look for? How would we prevent that from happening or something like that happening here? I like this one. I like hearing about tree trimmers and lawn care companies and things like that, because a lot of facilities have their own staff maintaining grounds. So if you have maintenance workers that are out there on riding lawnmowers, using weed whackers and all that good stuff, you should be addressing, you should be treating them like lawn care professionals and providing them the training, the PPE, tools and equipment, just like they were their own little lawn care business. It's the same thing. We can internalize these things, right? We can take examples out there in the industry of things, bad things going on, bad things happening. We can internalize those and we can use those to improve our processes and our systems. It's a great opportunity to keep things fresh, to break up the monotony, and you can create your own template for this. You could do the what if. I've seen a what if template, you know, what if dot, 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 and then they have the little story on the top half of the page, and the bottom half of the page are questions about our facility, where these exist, and what did we find, what did we learn, stuff like that. And you can make it like a scavenger hunt, go and see where we have opportunities like this in our facility. So learn from other people's mistakes, right? One of my favorite quotes, learn from other people's mistakes. You're not going to live long enough to make them all yourself. Keep your eyes peeled out there, out in the industry. Look for these stories. Use them as ways to communicate and reach out to your employees. The other thing this will do for you, the other added cultural benefit, is it demonstrates to the employees that, hey, look, stuff happens to other people. Stuff happens out there. It may not have ever happened here, but it happened over there. That doesn't mean it couldn't happen here. So let's take this opportunity to learn from that. It's also a great opportunity to validate the defenses you have in place and showcase the above and beyond or the strength of those defenses that you have in your organization and demonstrate that to your employees. Sort of reinforce that, you see, we're on to something here. We don't have these problems here. We took the opportunity to validate this. We will prevent things like this from happening here that happened at this other company. So there are added benefits, even culturally, to bringing those stories, outside stories in, internalizing them, and going and looking for those opportunities, those weaknesses that you may have that have gone unnoticed, and look for those and strengthen them, or at least validate that you have those under control. It's a great exercise. It helps reinforce the safety that you know is important in your facilities, and it gets your workers involved. So there you have it, a real quick episode, but it's a great way to bring those stories that happen out there into your organization. So I encourage you to use news and the internet for those purposes. Bring those cases in and talk about them. Thanks for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome. We appreciate you listening. Be sure you hit subscribe in the podcast app that you're using. Also, if you find time, leave a rank and review. You're probably, I don't know, busy right now listening to this. Maybe you're at work, maybe you're driving, maybe you're jogging. Again, I appreciate it. But there's an email link in the show notes that you can hit anytime. So you can shoot me a note. Also, I take topic requests. I get them all the time, and I use those to kind of figure out what I'm going to talk about from week to week. So give me your topic request if you have one. I will look into it, and we will come up with a podcast episode about that topic. Also, be sure to visit the exclusive floor line and marking company of the Safety Pro Podcast, mightylinetape.com/podcast. You will also be able to hear past episodes right there on their blog page. So once again, proud to be an exclusive partner with Mighty Line Tape. Go to mightylinetape.com/podcast. And until the next episode, be safe.